Everybody, welcome to the CCHA show, week two of conference action. Joining me on today's episode is former Ferris State SID and play-by-play broadcaster Harrison Watts. Now I see doing some reporting with our other guest, Tim Brown. We'll get to that. Harrison, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Perry.
And a returning guest, actually, you've both been on before, I should say, Tim Brown from Tech Hockey Guide and the Chasen McNaughton podcast. Tim, thanks for coming on and joining us here today through our technical difficulties. An exciting weekend to get the college hockey year underway. Notably, the CCHA went 6-2 in non-conference play, which is a positive overall. We'll break down those games that happened last week, and we'll get to a lot of games to cover, so we'll maybe kind of run through a few more quickly than others. But we'll get to the upcoming weekend and another pretty important slate as far as non-conference games are concerned. NCHC, Big Ten, some Atlantic action in there. So we'll get to that. And we'll start things off with what was probably the highlight of the weekend for many, especially those in the UP, Michigan Tech getting a split at the University of Minnesota. I was there for the loss on Friday, a 6-3 Gophers win. But importantly, the goals were 2-1 Tech when I was in the press box, and four to one when I wasn't, in favor of the Gophers. So, you can blame Dirk and Cal for kicking me out or not, but Huskies did get the win on Saturday. They held the Gophers to notably 13 shots on goal. I looked that up. Three times that's happened. A team has held the Gophers to that fewer goals in the last 25 years or so. So at the very least, so a great overall performance from the Huskies winning 5-3. We'll start with Tim on this one. You were there as well, of course. And you obviously helping to bring college hockey students from Tech down, and they obviously made the trip down as well as part of the Misfits there. But what was your overall takeaway from the weekend?
It's hard to put into words. I know it took me like an hour last night on our podcast to talk about it. It was so impressive to see the way Bill structures his team and how relentless they were able to be against a team that was preseason top 10. I understand that the Gophers have a lot of new faces, and Leo Gruba is probably was expected to be a big part of their defense and didn't get to play in the second game due to an injury that sounds like he could have played if it was a playoff game or more important than game two of the season. But it was so much fun to see, I don't know if I've ever seen a Tech team play the way they played the second period of Saturday night, where it was just relentless, where they were able to act like it was a power play when the Gophers had five skaters out there for what felt like 5 minutes, and they didn't get a goal in that moment, but that I think they wore them down and got two more shortly after that. So it was just so much fun to see that, and then to see them play the third period on the front foot and not just sit back and absorb pressure and hope to hang on like we've kind of been seeing from them over the years. And it's just a different mentality of taking the one puck theory to the extreme of like, if we keep it in the offensive zone, they can't score anyway. So let's not even let them get a shot, let alone worry about blocking it or defending, and just stay on offense, and then they can't score. And it was beautiful to watch.
Yeah, puck possession, certainly the key for the Huskies there. And really, that's how they limited the Gophers to so few shots and chances in general. Harrison, what do you think about this as far as, the Huskies, all these new players, a lot was made of Bowling Greens, and a lot of schools dip into the CHL player pool. But Tech, did their own bit of that as well. And it paid off a lot. Numerous guys who picked up goals this weekend came through that route, and it certainly paid off for them. A lot of guys playing the first college hockey action, though.
To be honest, I thought Michigan Tech was a better team all weekend. And it didn't look, I wouldn't say not close, but it was distinct to me. I thought the only reason Michigan Tech lost the first game was that they, you know, they had a couple breakdowns, and you're breaking in a lot of new guys that don't know each other. That's kind of an issue across the league this year with everybody dipping into the CHL, and different play styles coming to fruition. You know, I expect that Minnesota team to probably be better than they looked this past weekend over the course of the season. But there were, you know, specifically the second period of the second game, they were heavier. They were more opportunistic. They looked more confident pushing the pace. Sometimes when teams go to push the pace, they get a little antsy playing pucks and pucks hop over their sticks. But, you know, they were leaning heavy on their sticks, and it was very simple. It wasn't a complex system. You know, it was very simple, straightforward, and a great game plan for Bill McCall. I was very impressed. I had to watch the games back actually this morning, just because I had to, you know, I went camping last weekend. So I've been watching the games over the last few days. And when I watched them, I was like, Michigan Tech was the better team, and they probably should. You know, I know the USCHO rankings and the USA Today rankings are, you know, it's just a poll. But to me, they looked like a top 10 team to me right away.
Yeah, and certainly they'll have an opportunity to prove where they belong, right, throughout the course of the season. So as disappointing as it may have been to not already be ranked, you can – I mean, we're still the second week in October here, so – a lot of time to gain ground. We should move on because, like I said, we have a lot of games to get to. Ferris State and Miami, your former place of business, Harrison. Really close game on Friday. Turned into what became a 6-4 final score with an empty netter there. But Bulldogs had the lead, right, in the third period. Weren't able to close things out. And then on Saturday... a 3-1, another tight game, another low scoring game with empty netters involved here, or an empty netter involved. But Bulldogs playing what seems to be, and I want to give Miami credit here, a much improved Miami team. I was talking to Don earlier today, and this doesn't seem like a Miami team that's going to go 0 for the NCHC again, just from the players they brought in and this kind of this offensive skill they have. But still a good test. This has been an ongoing series between these two teams to start off the season.
Yeah, I thought Ferris State was, they looked heavier. They looked a little more determined in the offensive end. I was impressed with a lot of things I saw. I thought Hobie Hedquist put on a really nice performance the second night specifically. Watching Hobie, I thought specifically after he gave up the first goal, he made a breakaway save. If you go to the CCHA highlights and skip to 59 seconds of the second game, I remember this time code because I was going back through a few things. He makes a breakaway save, and then you see his footwork come into play, and then you see his puck tracking come into play. And that really impressed me that he was able to recover, get simple really quickly. So I saw a lot of good signs. And then, you know, everything that I thought that was kind of a predictable challenge, which is, you know, so many new guys in a totally new system, playing against a fast team. Anthony Noreen at Miami is a great coach. I expected them to be better this year, and they looked faster. They looked a little bit more offensively apt. I thought that goaltending was solid. I'm not going to largely overreact or react to what Ferris State does the first month of the season, because I think it's going to take some time for that system to get into place for Brett Riley. But there were a lot of positive signs, and I think there's a lot to work with there. And some guys that, you know, Connor McGrath specifically was another great sign, where 14 points as a freshman, 12 points between his sophomore and junior years combined, and had three on the weekend. I think that's a kid that, you know, maybe he's heard something. It's the same thing he's been hearing for a few years, but just with a different voice and got a different perspective on it. And I think there are a number of guys that I thought looked like they might have been unlocked by just some different conversations they'd had early in the season.
Tim, what do you think about the Bulldogs?
You know, it was nice to see them come out and play two competitive games. That didn't always happen over the last couple of years, so that was nice. Obviously, it would have been nice from a conference perspective to see them find a way to pull out some kind of result this weekend, and that didn't quite happen. But on paper, it looked like a good starting point for this new coach and new systems and a quite big turnover roster. So I it's promising. We'll see if they can continue and then, you know, hopefully falter in a couple weeks for Tech's home opener, right?
Yep,
always
coming
have to bring it back to the Huskies.
Of course you do. Another series that began on Friday, ended on Saturday, was Bemidji State heading up to Alaska Anchorage. They win 9-2 on Friday, 5-0 on Saturday. And we'll hear from Adam Flamang, who was the league's forward of the week, in a few minutes here on this CCHA show. But he had a five-point weekend, which included a goal and four assists. He assisted on the game winner on Saturday, scored the game winner on Friday, and really kind of was a catalyst for this Bemidji State offense that didn't necessarily need one all weekend. They got solid play all the way around. And like I said, we'll hear from Adam in just a little bit here, but guys, and we'll start with Tim here. Just this is exactly what you want from the Beavers to do when you go up to play a team like Alaska Anchorage, but there's certainly a difference between that being the goal and then, you know, following through on that.
Right. And one of the struggles you always have playing the Alaska schools this weekend is they get more practice time ahead of these games than other teams do because of all their travel. They get extra practice. So it's nice to see them go up there and show up for both games, put up a bunch of goals. I think one of the things that stuck out for me is my rookie of the year choice was Max Hildebrand. He got the start on Saturday and gets the shutout in his first opportunity to play in college. And that's kind of what I expect to see out of him quite regularly, is put up those kind of performances as the WCHA goalie or WHL goalie of the year last year. So.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move.
Jake Gensel.
Gensel banks it towards the goalie. Score!
Kale McCarr.
He scores!
Stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
My goodness!
Visit collegehockeyinc.com and follow at College Hockey.
Also on Friday was an exhibition game between Augustana and St. Cloud State in St. Cloud. And the Vikings, they had a 2-1 lead in that game, ended up tying 2-2. They ended up playing some third period, some situational power play PK. So not a true exhibition, but nonetheless, good to get on the ice if you're Augustana on the opening weekend, especially with not another game to play. The Huskies did have another game to play, that being St. Cloud State, and they were beaten by number 19, St. Thomas, on Saturday, the Tommies' only game of the weekend. Got a little bit hairy there. They were up 3-0, and St. Cloud came roaring back to tie it. But then it was, I believe, Nathan Pilling with the goal, his first collegiate goal, 5 minutes into the third period. It came on a five-minute major power play for the Tommies. They did take advantage. Some questions that were answered as Carson Musser was in goal for the Tommies, made 27 saves. So some, you know, you have the incumbent still there as far as the Tommies are concerned. They go with Musser, they transfer from CC. And the scoring was spread out for the Tommies. With Chase Cheslock picking up a couple assists from the blue line. Alex Gaffney had two assists as well for St. Thomas, but the goals came from four different players, including Lucas Wallen, the captain there. And Harrison, what do you think of the Tommies? I think their second win against St. Cloud. Both of them have come on the road in their program's history.
To be honest, I thought they completely outclassed St. Cloud. It was kind of stunning to watch. They took advantage of a really bad early turnover. As I watched it, I thought St. Cloud was getting run out of the rink a little bit by St. Thomas. They fell asleep in the third period and made things interesting, but they were able to flip the switch back on. I was very impressed. Not surprised. I've talked to other people in the league that really love St. Thomas to win the McNaughton Cup. I think they're absolutely a competitor for that. And they certainly made a very loud statement early in that game. I think when you watch when teams go back and look at the film, they're going to have a lot of questions on how do you handle St. Thomas, because they've got a lot of weapons. And obviously I think they have probably the best player in the league in Lucas Wallen. That makes things interesting. Carson Musser, I thought, was he was fine. It might take him a couple weeks. You know, goalies are always kind of squirrely this time of year. They start to really settle in kind of around the holidays.
Tim, what do you think about the time he's going to want to know?
It's always nice to get those non-conference wins early, and I know they're not the easiest thing to do, especially against an NCHC opponent. One of the things that we knew was that St. Thomas would have a good offense, and then you saw some of the question marks kind of appear in the third, where they got a little, I don't know, because it wasn't a ton of shots either. It was just some bad opportunities, a shorty, a power play goal, an even strength goal, and then there are some question marks on the back end for them, and it's going to be a matter of whether or not they can shore that up to continue to win, or if it's going to keep being these high scoring, you know, 4-3, 6-4 type games for them if they're going to win. Or one of these goalies emerges once they get an opportunity to play them both.
Yeah, I mean, you have to imagine Rico Blasi with the Tommies is going to continue to cycle through. He loves having two goalies he can trust. I think any coach will probably tell you that they'd like to have that. Some have different methods, right, of how they go about it. But I think if you probably asked him, he'd probably like to have both playing at top level. And then by the time you get to playoff time, you can ride the hot hand at that point. But there's so many different variables that go throughout the season that it's nice to have two that can play when you need them to. Moving on to some Saturday-Sunday slate after that St. Thomas game. We had Lake Superior State taking care of business against Stonehill, 5-3 on Saturday, 3-2 on Sunday. There were close games throughout. The Lakers get three goals and an assist from Callum Mangione. I haven't heard it. I should probably figure that part out. He was the rookie of the week, so I certainly have to figure that out soon. Big time scorer, right, in the Canadian League, coming over here from just across the border. He's from Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. But a fun little story there for him, if he can keep that going. He's not a very big guy, he can find the back of the net, and he looked great on the rush, skating up and down the ice with his line mates already there. So certainly exciting for Lake Superior State fans, because you kind of hear about some of these guys coming in and, you know, how will their game translate. I think Milburn had assists on a few of his goals playing with him there. So that's a nice to put, you know, a guy like Milburn, you know, big power forward on a line with him there. Tim, what do you think about the Lakers? This is a lot of the same lines with Bemidji. You go on the road. You don't know how your team's going to respond, right? First week into the season. This is an improved Stonehill team from when we saw them kind of go almost 0-for or 0-for their first year in college hockey.
Yeah, it's always important to get these wins when your team is, quote-unquote, expected to be the better one, because we have a lot of games we are not. So it's really important that Lake State found a way to get this sweep for the conference as a whole, because it doesn't help us in the NPI calc if teams go out there and struggle. But they struggled some, but they found a way to win both games, and that's really important. I think it's really good for Damon and his program to have found a way to get these wins. Hopefully they can take this and springboard and play better when they get to better competition as the year goes on.
Yeah, Appleby had 40 saves on Friday before Andrew Oakey had 27 Saturday, then on Sunday. Saw a lot of pucks, but we saw what Rourke Appleby was able to do last year, kind of forced into action more last year. I don't think he was expected to play as much as he did on that Lake Superior State team last season, but he surely, you know, proved his mettle there. He was all rookie team in the conference. Harrison, what do you think of the Lakers and their opening weekend?
Yeah, kind of like Tim said, a little disjointed at times. It's a team and another team with a bit of a roster makeover, and you expect that people just figuring out how everybody communicates. I honestly thought the weirdest thing, and I talked to a couple of my goalie friends about this, because I've got a couple friends that played goalie. Obviously, I worked with a lot of people that play goalie. I asked them specifically about the rink, and I sent a screenshot of the rink, how one side is open windows and there's a highway.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm curious, like, when the puck goes up in the air, if you're looking in that direction, can you lose it? Is it kind of a distracting thing. The skaters I talked to said, no, once you're skating, you don't really notice it. The goalies I talked to said, yeah, absolutely, that could cause problems, and there's glare too off the ice. So honestly, I thought that was kind of part of the that was part of the adversity for them. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to have to, you know, play in tricky environments. It's no different than when teams go to play outdoors where there's different sight lines than what you're expecting. You know, it's why in baseball there's the batter's eye, so you can see the ball a little bit cleaner. And, you know, hockey, you just hope for kind of a big white background, but that usually doesn't happen. So, yeah, that was kind of an interesting proponent of the weekend. I don't know how much it played in, but it was an interesting way to start the season for them. You know, Stonehill, I thought, looked better. They've got some guys that are true Division I players now that I think will make them better long term. How much better, I don't know, but encouraging signs out of Lake State for sure on the road.
Northern Michigan went to number 15 UMass, and William Grandma put on quite a show, especially on Friday, but he made 107 total saves in the series. It was a 5-3 UMass win on Saturday, and then a 4-1 with a couple empty netters on Sunday. So, you know, Grandma was really the story of the weekend for Northern. You don't necessarily want your goalie to be the story of the weekend too often, but we kind of saw it a little bit last year with Ouellette and his ability to keep the Wildcats in games. It's certainly not a bad thing to have your goalie, you know, perform well. That's what you want. And they were in it really on Friday. I think they gave UMass quite a scare. It just seems to be a matter for them to get over that hump from scaring teams to, you know, putting a win in the win column here. But again, I think, you know, Dave Shyack, the head coach there in his second year, has them headed in the right direction. The players seem to be completely bought in, as the ones that are returning are. And you throw in some, you know, some veterans additions to that team, and including the aforementioned Grandma, and they could have a decent this year with all the challenging non-conference games they have to start off the season. They'll certainly be tested. What do you think, Harrison?
Yeah, I thought that specifically Friday, they've closed the gap between, you know, last year that there was a big gap between them and everybody else, just with the way their roster looked, and, you know, first year head coach and kind of a tough roster construction situation. I think they definitely looked improved. Specifically Friday, they were very much in that game. I thought Alt Richter was all over the place, caused a lot of problems. You know, the second night, you don't want to see anybody give up 70 shots. You know, it was interesting. Northern Michigan put out, you know, program record saves in a game. And all I could think of is, when's the last time I saw a goalie make 70 saves in a game? And it's usually in the playoffs with multiple overtime. So he got a lot of work in. It was impressive to see him deal with it. You know, I think I'm dealing with this with my baseball team right now, the Tigers. We have great pitching, and we have bats that are, you know, they look like they have holes in them. You know, I think if I'm the goalie at some point, if I got to make that many saves, I'm going to walk over and be like, can somebody please put a shot on net? Let's puck in the other end for like 5 seconds, please. But I thought Northern Michigan looked much improved. UMass is a really good team. I was really impressed by them. I think that's a great early season test for Dave Shyack and company. And, you know, I expect them to be much, much more competitive this season, especially after watching what I saw on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, having traveled there with RPI in the past, it's a tough building to play in. They're usually ranked. You know, like I said, they've won a national championship recently. So that's a solid program there. And Tim, what do you think about the Wildcats? Obviously, a rival of Tech, geographically and historically here.
Yeah, I mean, I think offensively they looked a lot better than they have or they did last year. I think one of the big things that would still be a big concern is they allowed over 10 shots in every period this weekend. So the defense needs to tighten up and find a way to limit shots a little more than they did. And to answer your question, Harrison, I'm pretty sure the last time a goalie made this many saves was Carmine Guerrero against Tech, and that went to 3 overtimes. So a little different.
I remember that.
That's playoff hockey, right?
Right, that's playoff hockey. They played 2 full games for him to get 68 saves. So... I'm pretty sure we had Dave Ellis on the podcast last night, and I think he said that this was tied for the most saves in a game in regulation since they've been keeping stats in college hockey. So,
was Cal Peterson also an overtime game?
Well, I don't know. I feel like whoever the record that they tied, I didn't get that answer
I think it was overtime.
Goes way back. So I don't think it's been a long time since a goalie made this many saves in regulation.
Okay.
Because I think Cal Peterson was also up
for Notre Dame. That was an OT game. That makes sense.
Yeah. But I can't imagine being a UMass player 4 minutes into that third period and you're trailing with like 60 shots on net already. I know I was talking to some friends after the game Friday night in Minneapolis here, and we were like, can you imagine if they somehow lost that game? I think I'd just quit playing hockey if we put up 70 shots and couldn't outscore the other team, you know? So heck of a performance from the goalie between like 35, seeing 35 shots in the first period and 70 in the game and keeping it that close. They obviously need to work on that. And I think they're headed in the right direction with Shiek. It's just a matter of time for him. I think it's going to take a little more time. Like, this year's still going to be a transition year. They'll be closer than they were last year, but I still think they're 8th or 9th. Time will tell if that's how it plays out.
Yeah, certainly we'll be checking in, and from a competitive standpoint, it'll be I think a more fun season on the whole if there's more competition for that the line to make the playoffs in the conference, because still with St. Thomas in the conference for one more year, there's 9 teams, there's 8 spots. Last year it was a little bit of a foregone conclusion with Northern being so far out of it. That could change this time around. With that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll hear from Adam Flamang, alternate captain for Bemidji State and a senior for the Beavers, here in just a minute on the CCHA show. All right, joining me on the CCHA show is Bemidji State senior Adam Flamang. And Adam, welcome to the show, and obviously congratulations on a great weekend for the Beavers you guys just had up in Alaska.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's a sweet lid, too. I know you guys have... I told you the last couple of years I was bothering Matias for he had the old school Beaver logo hat. I'm sure you have one of those too.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Tobes does a really good job with our gear and stuff for us.
Yeah. For folks just listening, it's like a Beaver script on a green hat. Looks really cool. Like I said, the Beavers are always looking good, whether they're on the ice or off it, I will say. Adam, you're from St. Michael, Minnesota, which is just, if you're not familiar, northwest of the Twin Cities.
Yep.
Played for, I believe it was a combined high school there, and you guys went to the state tournament back in your high school days. Going back to that, and you're playing in Minnesota, as so many kids grew up doing here. What was your kind of youth into high school path like for you?
Yeah, so grew up in St. Michael, obviously. Played 4 years of high school there, loved it. Best friends there. Yeah, played 4 years of high school, was captain my junior and senior year. Went to state my sophomore year, and then we played Duluth East and lost in the first round. So Austin Jupe took us down in the first round. But yeah, some great memories, had a blast. Very, very lucky to have grown up in Minnesota and be able to be part of that.
Played some at Cedar Rapids in the USHL. I think people watch college hockey, and you mentioned Austin from high school days, but you play against a lot of the guys that you're playing in college coming up through the junior ranks. True. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially in the USHL, there's a lot of guys in the CCHA that played there. So I know their game. I'm used to them, but yeah, I played in CR for a year and loved that too. Definitely got me ready for the college level.
Very cool. The Beavers went up to Alaska Anchorage. Have you been to Alaska before?
No, that was my first time. Really, really cool experience. I loved it.
Did you have a few days on either side of the games to see anything or get out?
Not really, because we showed up late kind of Wednesday night and then tried to get as much sleep as we could Thursday and then practice, load a video, and then team dinner Thursday night, and then we were playing Friday and left after the game on Saturday.
So afternoon Alaska game on Saturday to get you out of there, which is probably a little bit nice. You told me about the travel. It was not it's never ideal, I guess, going to and coming back.
No, not really. I mean, because if we would have stayed until Sunday morning, then we'd have been gone all day Sunday, and then Monday would have been tough. So,
but back on the grind here, just watching those games, it sounded like you had a pretty good Beavers contingent in Anchorage, which is a little bit surprising. But I heard either it was family or fans, or you know, obviously Raith and Robbins from up there, so that was probably huge for him on Friday to get that start.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. I mean, he grew up, I think, 10 minutes from the rink. For him to be able to play a college game there is pretty cool. And then, yeah, I think eight or 10 of the parents came. My parents were there. Nice. A lot of the senior parents were there. So it was pretty cool to see them come up and have some fun.
Absolutely. And you jumped on the Seawolves on Friday to the tune of 9-2, which I think tied a program record for goals. And you never expect that coming into a season or into a game, I'm sure. But with, you know, all the, you know, a lot of new players for you guys, a lot of, you know, cohesion, I'm sure, happened over the last few weeks getting ready for the season. How fun was that just getting out there and putting on a show, really, on Friday?
Yeah, that was awesome. Especially with all the new guys that we have on the team this year, to put up 9 goals in our first game was pretty cool. Obviously, we didn't play amazing. I think the score 9-2 really wasn't what the game was like. I mean, Alaska is a very good team as well. But yeah, it was fun to put up some goals early on in the year.
You got, a couple of guys on, new guys came in, a couple of them played in, you know, with the changing environment, of course, of college hockey. You have a couple of guys who played collegiately in the U sports after playing either in, you know, the Canadian Hockey League, or, you know, a couple of guys played, you know, some pro games, which has obviously caused a bit of a stir. But for those guys who are a little bit, you know, they are veteran guys, and they're not too far off from some of your seniors in your team's experience. What's it like kind of integrating some of those players in your team, and how have they come along?
Yeah, they fit right in. I mean, all the new guys we have are great guys, so it's easy when they're awesome and you get to hang out with them and build connections really, really fast. And obviously, they're going to be a huge part of our team this year, so we're just excited to have them.
A few of them got in the score sheet as well, which doesn't hurt. Then we see some. Obviously, Max Vig was an NHL draft pick, and he's playing on the blue line for you guys. And Max Hildebrand got his first start and a shutout on Saturday. Just being able to get some guys, I think Coach tried to get as many guys as he could in the lineup this weekend here. What was that like for those guys, and to see, you know, Max Hildebrand get that opportunity and take full advantage of it?
Yeah, no, it was awesome to see kind of everyone get in the lineup this weekend, and a lot of first goals, first shutout, first win. So it was really cool to see everyone kind of to have a really good weekend. And obviously, Hilty getting a shutout in his first game is pretty cool.
You guys, the Beavers, every year you play all your rivals, whether they're in the CCHA or otherwise, you know, whether it's Duluth or St. Cloud, North Dakota. Everyone's on the schedule again, which I'm sure is fun to have those rivalries. And you get St. Cloud this weekend, a home and home. What's it like? You play these teams a lot, so it feels like they're part of your schedule every year. And how does that go into your team's mentality when you're playing a team like the Huskies?
Yeah, obviously we play all the Minnesota schools, and it's pretty fun. I mean, especially St. Cloud being one of the closest ones, the home and home is always fun. And going to St. Cloud is not an easy rink to play in with the Olympic ice and how skilled and fast they are. So we'll do a lot of video this week, a lot of preparation, but yeah, we're definitely excited.
You seem to have, just looking back on your Beavers career now, since you're obviously a senior year, you seem to have a bit of a flair for the dramatic. I think you have 7 game winning goals. And I remember last year it was not only, I think you had a game winner, I think Bowling Green in overtime, kind of racing down the ice. You had 2 game winners, I think, in the playoffs against Augustana there. Is there something about being in big spots that you kind of maybe not raise your level, but you're a little bit more like acute, going for trying to score the big goal there?
I don't know. I think some of it's probably a little bit of luck, and other just because, I mean, when the playoffs comes around and end of games, you gotta raise your game, I think. So, and I mean, it's fun to be in those moments. So yeah. I try to do my best, and the last couple of years, it's worked out for me.
Yeah, you just find yourself in the right spot, I guess, and take advantage.
Yep, exactly.
You know, Coach Cerutori has been celebrated, you know, 25 years as a head coach, and I'm sure he means a lot to you. And, you know, going back to the guys that you played with throughout your career, obviously winning the McNaughton in 24 was had to be a blast for you sophomore year there. What's he meant to you and to the program, do you think, for all the guys that have come before? Now you're wearing a letter. Guys before you obviously have showed you the ropes and won letters in the past.
Yeah, I mean, Coach is great. I think he took over in 01. He played here. And I think he does a great job of just, like, bringing in the new and the old with our alumni. Coach Peters, he talks about all the time. And then, obviously, Wince is going to be taking over when Coach Sartorio decides to retire. And I think he does an amazing job with the program as a whole and the alumni base. And personally, he's been there 100% every time I need to talk to him about anything. He's there. He's awesome. He's meant everything to me in my career. I'm very, very lucky that he's our head coach.
And, you know, what players would you think going back to your freshman and sophomore years really kind of steered you in the right direction or helped you along, you know, your path, whether, you know, I was, you know, whether it be forwards or defensemen, just that not you're kind of in that role now over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think there's a ton of guys, but yeah. The guys that I look to probably the most would be Lufty and Carter Jones. Carter Jones is one of the funniest guys I've ever met. So when times would get kind of stressful and I don't know, maybe we weren't playing great, Jonesy would throw a joke out there and kind of make everyone relax. And hey, it's not the end of the world. Let's just go play our game. And Lufty, just as a leader every day, coming to the rink, outworking everyone, just the way he kind of carried himself is I looked up to and wanted to be like that. So I've kind of taken things from a lot of guys, but those two for sure.
Well, that certainly makes sense. You know, Adam Flamang here, senior assistant captain here for the Bemidji State Beavers. And, you know, this group, you know, what are your thoughts on, you see some of the games are gone, obviously. Michigan Tech gets a big win against the Gophers in the league and a couple, you know, and Lake Superior State goes out and gets a sweep, I know, against a newer team in to college hockey like Stonehill. But do you feel like that this year with the added, you know, the opening of the Canadian Hockey League players to college hockey is going to raise everyone's level? And you guys think that that you guys really have a shot to, you know, just as the league as a whole is going to be lifted by this whole change?
Yeah, I think college hockey as a whole has just gotten a lot better with these new rules. And for the CCHA, it's going to be a war every single night. All the teams are really, really good. So yeah, it's going to be an exciting year. For Bemidji State, I think we're going to be really good as well. I think we're fast, we're strong, we're physical. I mean, we're deep. So it's going to be a fun year for us and the Beaver fans. But for the CCHA as a whole, it's going to be a really, really good year.
Is there anything you're looking forward to? Obviously, you get the Gophers, and I think it's an exhibition game in January. But just as far as the season goes, I know as coach will, I'm sure, harp on you guys. We're taking it one game at a time. But is there anything in your senior season that you're kind of looking forward to? Maybe it's, you know, having some success after you guys were a little bit down last year as far as your expectations were concerned.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely up and down year last year. So hopefully we can get some more consistency this year. But obviously, I'm always excited for the Mankato series. That's always fun to go down to Mankato. Tech's always a fun series going there. But yeah, I think our schedule is pretty cool. We get all the Minnesota schools, so those are always fun. Yeah. And then our rivals within the CCHA is always exciting too.
All right. Well, you put up a couple of, you know, back-to-back, you know, in personally, you know, 18 to 20 point kind of seasons for you. And do you have any personal goals, or is it just to, you know, to kind of fit with the systems that you have in place there?
Yeah, not necessarily points wise. I think my sophomore and junior years, I've had some really, really slow starts and I've been pretty frustrating. So it felt good to get off to a good start this year for sure. So that was kind of my main goal coming into the season, is get off to a good start. Mm-hmm. And hopefully I can keep that rolling into St. Cloud. But yeah. Yeah,
you got teammates that can put the puck in the back of the net. It surely helps.
Yeah, with a point absolutely. Total.
All right, Adam. Well, thanks so much for joining the CCHA show, and we'll be watching this weekend as you guys take on the Huskies.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, everybody, back here on the CCHA show, joined once again by Harrison Watt and Tim Brown, guys. Another packed weekend here of CCHA action. The Huskies are off, mind you. Before they head off to Alaska Fairbanks next weekend, but we do start off things early. That wasn't great by me, but Ferris State heads to defending national champion Western Michigan on Thursday. It's a Thursday, Friday home and home with the Broncos and Harrison. You know, this is another real tough test here for the Bulldogs right out of the gate against a team that they do play pretty consistently. Another Michigan rival of theirs. They head into Kalamazoo. What do you expect from this one here? And, you know, what kind of transition do you think the Broncos are going through here? I know they're still a top 3-2 team in the nation, according to the polls.
Well, they've also got one of the best goalies in the country. I love Hamden Slukinski. That makes it tough all by itself. Then you got to go there on the night that they're going to raise their national championship banner and two other championship banners. I've been told by the facilities director, who is a former Ferris athletics employee, that it looks like the biggest student crowd that Lawson Ice Arena has ever had will be there. So that's, you know, that's, it's a lot to put up with. It's a big test. You know, Ferris State has not actually, strangely, played the defending national champion since 2007. That was Michigan State. And they lost those two games. The last time they beat a defending national champion was 2005. It was Denver. So I mean, it's kind of the first opportunity in a long time to maybe make a loud statement. I think if you're Ferris State, your only way to win the game at Lawson is you have to find a way to keep their student section quiet as long as possible. There's no student section, and this isn't a diss to anybody, there's no student section in the country that influences their team's play like Lawson. I've never been anywhere like it. It's violent almost. It's like an anabolic steroid for them. I've never seen anything like it. When their crowd gets charged up, the team plays completely differently. Tim, you're about allowed to be as salty as you want. Your fans are too nice. That's the problem.
I understand that. The Western fans cross lines that we don't, partially because not allowed to.
Yeah.
And they don't want to.
They use that to their advantage. I worked with a kid, I won't name him, years ago, who it was a player number that the lunatics like to pick on. And it's that number player on every team. You've probably heard the chant if you've ever been to Lawson, and I won't say it.
Thank you.
He took 3 first period penalties. And if you know where the penalty box is at Lawson, it's right in the middle of the student section. So he takes the penalties. I think he was a -1 in the first period. We lost the game. And I saw him in the locker room after. He looked like he was shell-shocked. He looks at me, he goes, "I don't ever want to play hockey again." He got back on the horse after that, but like it really has a way of affecting you. It's impressive. So if Ferris State can find a way to muck it up and keep them quiet for a while, you have a chance to win the game on the road at Western. And then you got to come home and protect home ice. And you know, I don't think Brett Riley wants to wait 2 more weeks to get his first Division I win. And more importantly, you know, some of his next test after Western Michigan is Michigan Tech, who looks really, really good. So it's, you know, I think it's a lot to handle, but I don't think it's anything they're going to shy away from. I felt good about the way they performed this weekend for the most part. Clean a few things up on a short week of prep, and, you know, hopefully you can go down to Western and spoil banner night. But it's a tall task for sure.
Yeah, we'll see how that transpires there. That's, remember, a Thursday, Friday series for Ferris and Western. Bowling Green heads to Niagara for their first regular season games of the year. I failed to mention their exhibition loss on Saturday. I apologize there, but they lost to Robert Morris 4-1. This is a team they beat in exhibition 7-2 last year, so maybe a little bit of concern there. But again, you're probably you're playing your whole roster. You're playing multiple goalies, so it's, you know, it's not the same environment as you maybe would have in a true game against Robert Morris. So, like I said, they only scored the 1 goal, maybe a little bit hard to swallow for maybe some Falcons fans. But like I said, the positives there is the game doesn't count. Now you head to Niagara, where they're playing a pretty good Purple Eagles team here this weekend, but they will be tested on the road. Harrison, thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I'm not super worried about Bowling Green yet. You know, they're obviously the real big splash in the CHL in terms of roster construction. They have they've done, I think, the most in terms of volume of players. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, on that, but they've done a lot to that roster to change it. I think it's just going to take a while. You know, it's not going to be simple. It's a totally different play style moving to the NCAA. I think, you know, they can be boom or bust. I think they'll figure it out in the second half of the year, but this is a team that might take a little while to marinate, but I'm not super concerned about them. I think that an exhibition loss like that will probably serve to wake them up. Niagara's kind of a tricky place to play, though. I think, Perry, you've probably been there before. Not myself, but
I have been there.
I feel okay about Bowling Green this weekend on the road. I think that they'll figure it out. I think that's a nice wake-up call to get that in an exhibition game against Robert Morris, who's looking a little bit better. They definitely look better on film.
They did. They look pretty good. Tim, thoughts on BG?
Yeah, I did get a chance to see the line chart, and they dressed everybody. So, you know, that's one thing to take away from that exhibition is you're just trying to, you know, play everybody, throw out some lines, see what works, see what doesn't, and you're not necessarily playing that game, quote unquote, to win. You obviously want to, but it's more important to kind of figure out chemistry and take advantage of what you have and see what you have. So, you know, there'll obviously be, and like Harrison mentioned, it's a little more of an opportunity to take that L and learn from it versus, you know, maybe coming in with too high expectations and laying an egg. So hopefully that kind of puts them in the right mindset and gives them an understanding of what the differences are between college hockey and major juniors. And hopefully they can make those adjustments and show up in Niagara.
Moving on to another road test for Northern, not quite the distance to travel this time around. They head to Ohio State, another another ranked team here. And again, playing against Big Ten schools, we've seen Tech come away with some success there. Haven't had a lot of it recently. It'll be another tough one for Northern here, Tim. And what do we think that maybe the Wildcats can take a little bit of positives away, that they know who they got behind them now? It's always a little bit of a question. You go in here with a new goalie. I know Grandma came over from Wisconsin, so he has some familiarity here. Not sure how much he's played at OSU, but as far as that goes, the team has to be more confident in who they have behind them. Maybe that will help them relax a little bit going on the road to play another tough team in the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I think it feels like a better opportunity to steal some points than UMass, just from what I know of the two teams. But it's still going to be a big challenge to walk into Columbus and steal any kind of result here. You're going to need another performance where a goalie's stopping, you know, 19 of 20 shots if you want to steal some points here this weekend. I think, you know, Northern's capable of, in some respect, keeping up with Ohio State, but it's going to be very challenging for them to win against the top 20 team.
Harrison?
Yeah, whoever made this schedule has zero chill. This is a tough way to open your schedule. On the road at UMass, on the road at Ohio State. Good for them. I appreciate teams that do that, though. I mean, I always like seeing teams that are willing to test themselves in college sports. You watch, like, Indiana football is a great example of a team that does not test themselves. Like, they're Kennesaw State and all this stuff, and you're just trying to get to the playoff. I like a team that'll test themselves, and I appreciate that out of Northern Michigan. And hopefully they'll go into it fearless. I think you were right about the goaltender. Maybe it helps them relax a little bit. That is a strange building in that when it is not full, the environment goes away very quickly. It's a big building, but it can be quiet in there real fast. You know, it's still football season. I think that probably doesn't help Ohio State hockey. I think that their fans probably get a little more engaged in December, probably. Based on games I've watched in the past and crowds I've seen there in the past. So hopefully you can take advantage of an area that's not quite ready for college hockey in Northern Michigan. You know, maybe they are after going on the road and getting a real good stiff test, and now they kind of know what they're up against.
And not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but their tough schedule doesn't stop there. Then they host Colorado College and Michigan State to start the year. So it's just a bloodbath for them for the first month here.
Good for them. Good for them for testing themselves. I appreciate that out of them.
So grandma has played Ohio State once in his career, but it was in Madison. So he's sat on the bench before, though. So that's, he's got that going for him. But he did lost 2-1 to the Buckeyes back in last season. Gave up a couple of goals on 20 shots. So not nearly the test that he may see here this time around. But like I said, getting the opportunity, that's what we saw with White, right? Willette last year in Northern, got a chance to play as an upperclassman and took full advantage of it and showed off his abilities there. Moving on to a Friday-Sunday matchup, St. Thomas is headed to the University of North Dakota on Friday. Return trip to Grand Casino Arena. Is that right, Tim? Formerly the XL Energy Center. This is a yearly move for the Tommies. Last couple of them, they've played the University of Minnesota. But this time around, they get another Western power in North Dakota coming to town. And should be exciting. I think I'll be there on Sunday. But Friday, they're playing up in Grand Forks. What do we expect from the Tommies here, Tim, after we saw what they did against St. Cloud?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for them to show just how good they are. You play a quality opponent in North Dakota that's probably expected to be, you know, towards the top of the NCHC. I don't quite know, I guess, how high up they were picked or anything like that, but they're going to be a good good team. They did some good things in the portal, so they've improved their team. So St. Thomas tries to show off, you know, just how good they are and whether or not they're going to be ready to transition to that league next year, right?
Yeah, you're right. It's a preview of sorts. Harrison?
Well, I expect St. Thomas to go in there and win a game. I don't know what Sunday's going to look like. I feel like North Dakota sometimes plays a lot better in those NHL building games. But I expect St. Thomas to go in there and win the game on that's Friday. Is in Grand Forks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Friday, Sunday.
Rico Blasi's been in these buildings. He knows the environment. He'll have his guys prepared. Again, that little spell in the third period the other day, I didn't think it was indicative of what kind of a team they are. You know, they'll get that out of their system this week, because you can't do that on the road at North Dakota. The fans there will get on top of you pretty quick. But the one thing I took away from the St. Cloud game was that St. Thomas's speed looked superior. And if St. Thomas can, you know, outspeed a team like St. Cloud, they should be able to keep up with a team like North Dakota, based on the recruits that I know they have coming in.
Another home and home, St. Cloud and Bemidji State, starting things off in Bemidji on Friday, and then heading over to St. Cloud on Saturday. Beavers looking to, it's kind of tough sometimes coming back from Alaska. A lot of teams have that as their bye the weekend after an Alaska trip. But not the case here. They jump right back into it with another rival of theirs, a Minnesota rival, which the Beavers have on their schedule here. And Harrison, what do we think from, you know, obviously CCHA fans, if they're like you or some of the other, you know, the sickos out there watching a lot of St. Cloud State hockey, what do you think we can kind of take away from what the Beavers did and what the Huskies did and into this matchup?
Yeah. I think to peel back the curtain a little bit, as much as I talked about traveling out there, how tough it is traveling back, you know, if you finish the game Saturday night.
They had an afternoon game on Saturday, thankfully. So they were able to get, yeah.
Yeah. So you get back, it's still probably 20 hours of travel-ish based on connections, maybe more with it being Bemidji. And then you got to reset to the time zone. So, and that kind of tends to bleed into the next week. So my hope is that Bemidji State will get their legs back pretty quickly, but it's a tall test. I think being at home will help on Friday, and we might see the effects of it kind of on Saturday. That's kind of where it tends to bleed in, is the Saturday night game. I would hope for a split would be good, but Bemidji State definitely impressed me offensively. St. Cloud, I thought, honestly, until St. Thomas started to let off the gas, I didn't think St. Cloud generated a whole lot. I'm hopeful that Bemidji State can play downhill, hang on to the puck. The one thing about Bemidji State is, despite the fact they scored a bunch, especially on Saturday, UAA had a pretty similar number of shots. It was just that Bemidji finished on more of them. So I'm a little curious about what that defense is going to look like against St. Cloud.
Tim?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, beyond the travel is just going to be that Bemidji State adjusting from playing an Alaska Anchorage team to a more up-tempo, little higher skill team in St. Cloud and having to deal with that adjustment. Like some of these CHL guys or the pro guys, like maybe like they're a little different where they came from, and that might have been a nice series to ease into, but I think this one's going to be much more up to speed of what maybe they're going to see more often this year. So the how well are they going to adjust from what they saw last weekend to this weekend beyond the travel?
Certainly. Another rivalry of sorts, cross conference or interconference rivalry with Minnesota State and the Mavericks getting their season underway at Nebraska Omaha here, Tim. These teams have played exhibitions to start off the season before. This time they've played, I think, some form of a home and home before. But now it's just a straight series at UNO for the Mavericks. A lot of turnover. I think a lot has been made in the preseason of the amount of goals lost, especially just forward bodies up front being almost a new group there for the Mavs, still ranked number 20, certainly on their reputation and making the tournament and winning the McNaughton Cup and winning the Mason Cup again in Coach Luke Strand's second year. There has to be some excitement, maybe a little bit of trepidation with not knowing what they're going to get offensively, but you still have the reigning goalie of the year. You still have Evan Murr, defenseman of the year back, and some veterans there on this team.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it for Minnesota State is that you're going into the year expecting it to be low scoring affairs most of the time. Now, whether or not that happens on opening weekend, like Harrison said earlier, that sometimes the goalies take a while to settle in, but Alex Tracy's been there before, so maybe he can hit the ground running and put up some quality outings here early on. The big question for Minnesota State is where's the offense going to come from this year? And the answer has been somebody for the last decade. So who knows who it's going to be? I think this could be the year where that question finally doesn't have a great answer, but we don't really know until they start playing. I think they have a great shot at getting some points this weekend, but you never really know until the games happen.
Harrison?
Yeah, Tim said it every year. I think there have been a number of years where I've had the question, well, how are they going to score? Are they going to be that good? Or is their top six that good? And then it's like, who is this guy I've never heard of that was on the roster last year that now has, a point per game? Like, they do it every year. I'm not really worried. I'm not going to worry about them until I see them play. What have they done for over the last decade but just dominate? They're awesome. It's a great program. They've built in a high floor. I think Luke Strand's a great coach. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is a trophy series, isn't it? I think they have a trophy between the two schools.
Yes, for the Maverick. It's something of the Mavericks.
Yeah, Pride of the Mavericks or something like that. I expect it to be
hot. An awfully tough radio call, always.
Yeah. I think
you got to come up with something new to say. Yeah, that's whenever RPI played another engineers or things like that. It's
No,
it's not hockey. Thankfully, there's only one.
I think it'll be hotly contested. I think Minnesota State will want to come out and answer those questions because I think they're a team that specifically does listen to a lot of that noise and puts it on their bulletin board when people have questions about them. So I'm hopeful that Minnesota State comes out and answers those very quickly and loudly.
Yeah, they always seem to find some folks to come in there, whether it's going to be, an Alex Zetterberg or some of these other transfers that come in, or maybe, maybe a youngster steps up and fill some of those shoes. Obviously, Luigi Benincasa, former Ferris State Bulldog, is still with the program there. So there are some, it's not like they had a completely, to redo everything up front, but it certainly will be interesting to see how this goes down here. Couple more series to get to here, including Augustana getting their regular season underway at UMD. Harrison, what do you think about the Vikings? They really, surprised the people in their first 2 years, kind of overachieving maybe a little bit. They got home ice last year. Some fans maybe think, thanks to the fact that they only played 16 games, everybody else played 10 more. But still, you have to give credit where credit's due to you know, to Coach Raboin and this program for kind of seemingly doing it the right way, whatever, you know, the right way is.
Well, it's the right way because I thought that that had they played a full season of schedule, they probably would have been in a home ice spot too. UMD is always a tough place to play, but I do think that specifically the last couple of years, maybe they're a little bit more gettable. I think this is a weekend that Augustana goes on the road and probably puts a stamp on it. You know, the CCHA is off to a really good non-conference start. I don't see it ending here. And it would, you know, obviously for the comparisons, it's nice to go get NCHC wins, but you know, I have a lot of faith in Garrett Raboin and that staff. I think they're excellent. And it's proved by the way they play downhill. They're on top of you quickly. They have a lot of guys that can be a problem. It's not an instance that we have to go shut this one guy down. They have a number of weapons that can do it. And I feel pretty good about them going on the road to a place that, you know, that it's got a great, you know, great history, great coaching staff, but maybe he's been a little bit down the last couple of years, and this is a chance to maybe catch him sleeping on the road.
Yeah, and just one of the few programs, you know, in the league, Tim, that has a returning goalie that's going to see a significant amount of time, you know, and so that's one thing that obviously they have is that consistency, that backbone for them at that position. But what do you think of Augustana coming into this season and this series?
Well, I think they have the opportunity to get home ice again, but specifically about this series, one of the things that Harrison brought up earlier about Bemidji is Duluth is also coming back from Alaska. They spent the weekend in Fairbanks, which is worse travel than Anchorage typically, and they did not have an afternoon game on Saturday. So I would fully expect Augustana to be the better team on Saturday, and because of that, you talked about the legs of all that travel. So it's whether or not they can come up Friday and also show up better in that game. And I certainly think they can. I think they've got the skill, the goalie to steal one, and then whether or not the rest of the team shows up enough to put up enough goals to outscore Duluth, that's really the question there. And I think they can, and I think they're in a good place. You know, all of us preseason on the reporter's corner, we all kind of had different top six orders. You could just throw it in the shuffler and who knows how it's all going to scramble out. And Augustana's there, and it's just a matter of where that sorts out in the end. And I don't really know. It's so hard to pick between those six teams that we all think could win this league this year.
And that's part of the beauty of it, right? As someone just trying to watch this go down. Lake Superior State, after being on the road last weekend, they have a true home series. They're the only ones to do that in the league. Everyone else is, if they're at home, they're playing somewhere else as well. Lindenwood comes to town to take on the Lakers at Taffy Apple Arena. And Tim, an opportunity here, you know, like we talk about opportunities all the time. We've said it probably a million times here, but Lake Superior State, they've had good starts to their CCHA seasons recently, trying to have a good non-conference start. If they put together another complete weekend here, they could get to four wins in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's cool that they get a home non-conference series. Yeah, Lindenwood's, what, in the third year of existence now? Fourth year? I forget. But they're on a new coach since Michigan Tech has their last year's coach. So
that's true.
Keith Fisher from Penn State's there now. A rough weekend in Madison, I believe. Mm-hmm. So a little bit different opponent for them. But I think Lake State, you know, did what they needed to do the first weekend. And I kind of expect that to continue, especially at home. You know, I think Lindenwood's probably a better opponent than Stonehill, but Lake State gets to be the home team for this one. So I would certainly expect some quality results for Lake State to help the conference here.
And Lindenwood kind of surprised a few people. They only had 8 wins last year, but I know they beat Wisconsin early in the year last season. Not the case this time around, as they hosted the Badgers, lost 3-0 and 7-2 last weekend. So 0-2 Lindenwood coming up to the UP. It's a long trip from St. Louis to the tip of the UP there. So Harrison, what do you think that, you know, the Lakers have in store for the Lions?
I expect Lake State to come out and win the series and win both games. I expect Lake State to come home and clean up a little bit of what they looked like last week. And they've got some long travel home too. I would assume it's by plane, based on just how far away they were going. But yeah, it's, I expect Lake State again. They showed superior speed last weekend. I don't think that'll be an issue again this weekend. I think they should be able to at least outspeed and potentially outmuscle Lindenwood. You know, Lindenwood is, you know, playing for pride. You don't want to start a year 0-4. You know, that's a tough feeling to come out of your first four games without a win. Then you start to wonder, when's it going to come? But I would be hopeful that Lake State comes home, takes care of business. It's a tough long trip for Lindenwood after, you know, anytime you play a Mike Hastings coach team, you know, in Wisconsin, it kind of gets to you for another week because they play such a heavy style of hockey. You know, even in the Big Ten, with it being more of a skill speed league, he's going to play a heavy style of hockey, and I would expect that would have worn on Lindenwood a little bit this past weekend. And Lake State is not an easy place to play.
Yeah, we'll see if Mangione there can continue his scoring pace that he showed in juniors, in major juniors there. So we'll keep an eye on that one as well. A lot of games this weekend, guys. That was all of them. Anything to plug? I know you guys are almost working together here, as I hear it, maybe in the online hockey world, but Harrison, anything to plug before we get out of here?
Yeah, I've joined Tech Hockey Guide for now, doing a little bit of beat reporting on Ferris State. So covering a little bit of them, kind of helping fan out Tech Hockey Guide's coverage of the league. That's been great. I'm very thankful to them for giving me an outlet to write. It's been a while since I've been a reporter. Going to be weird walking into a press conference this coming weekend for the first time in a long time, because usually in the press conferences I'm orchestrating it from on the headset upstairs. So now I'm going to go in there and have to try not to ask stupid questions. It's also going to be strange that I'm going to walk into a press conference and the head coach is going to be my age as opposed to double my age. so it's going to be interesting to kind of get back into the reporter world. But yeah, plugging Tech Hockey Guide as always. They're always great.
Yeah, no longer Bob over there, huh?
No, I miss him and his very thoughtful answers to questions that sometimes kind of tangent into something else. Those are always great. Sometimes you ask a question, you don't get the answer you want, and then you don't realize it until you walked out because he was so nice to you the whole time.
Tim, anything to plug before we hit the road?
Well, as always, we're doing weekly episodes for the Chasing McNaughton podcast, covering mainly Tech. But also, like Harrison said, we've widened our scope at Tech Hockey Guide, and this year we have a reporter covering every Michigan CCHA team. So Harrison's got Ferris, we've got Avery up at Lake State, and then Evan covering Northern. So pretty much every week you're going to see something on all four teams in Michigan in the CCHA from us. So
very
excited
cool.
for that.
Awesome. Well, guys, thanks for coming on the show. You can obviously listen to this on Apple, Spotify, and CCHA.com. You can also watch the episode on Midco Sports Plus. For Harrison and Tim, I'm Perry. Once again, thank you for listening, and we'll see you at the rink.